restore through Jesus as you safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live my faith and hear His blessed will, the wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With this manna, He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweep me up to glory to see His blessed face. Amen! Rivers of delight shall ever roll. Oh, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Let's turn over to number 90. This kind of goes along with the first one that we sung, and it's a testimony song, a good bit of it, what we did when we were lost, and what we're going to do when we die. And I know a bunch of us. I'll just speak for myself. I'm ready to go, and I already told Sandy and Colin that if I was to pass out, just to go ahead, Colin, you keep on a singing, and Sandy keep on a playing. And then I threatened him with that you might have to give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And then I thought, that ain't going to happen, Gary. Ain't that right?
The dead bury the dead.
A better place to go. Praise His holy name. I'm glad this man wrote this song. Praise His name. Last night I heard them singing over on the graceful shore. What a time when I can join them over there. I have almost topped the mountain where the rose of Sharon grows, and I know I have a better place to go. I'm so glad that I know. Well, glory. Oh, when I leave, I have a better place to go. While I'm waiting at the crossing, looking back at friends once more, praise the Lord, I have a better place to go. I remember at an altar, though it's been so long ago, when I gave my heart to Jesus, kneeling there. Oh, how precious is that memory when His love came shining through. And I started to my home beyond the blue. Everybody sing the chorus. I'm so glad that I know. Looking back at friends once more, praise the Lord, I have a better place to go. In a while I'll meet the reaper who has called so many home.
How sad to leave my loved ones here below. When they follow to the graveside, I'm so glad I let them go. Glory to God, I have a better place to go. Oh, I'm so glad that I know. Oh, when I leave, I have a better place to go. While I'm waiting at the crossing, looking back at Christmas morn, praise the Lord, I have a better place to go.
Can anybody say amen? Choir, you can be seated. Come ahead, Teddy.
My steps are feeble.
Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen.
Bless them, Lord.
I appreciate our visitors for being with us tonight. They, you know, there's a part of that first song that Lenny sang. He said, amen, he'll never leave me. Amen. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that we never are alone. Amen. Paul said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Amen tonight. And I tell you what, I'm thankful that the Lord will never forsake us. He'll never leave us.
Amen.
He's one that sticks closer than a brother tonight. Amen. You know, sometimes we might not think he's there, but he's there.
Yeah.
He's there. Amen. Never are alone. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate the service last night. I'm looking forward to what God's got in store for us. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Does anybody have any unspoken prayer requests tonight? Amen. Brother Gary, would you take us to the Lord in prayer?
Lord,
begin to come with the Lord. Amen. We're grateful to the Lord. We're all for the man. We're your friends. We're all for the man. This is all what we know how to sing.
shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burden to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day,
Flip it over on three.
I just want to get it. church.
Amen.
Just a simple little song that you listen to.
Bless
your God.
But your choir director said you paid Slim, so we probably sing Slim.
This is probably about the third time that we've been here. I came one time, and Josh did a Saturday night service y'all had out in the fellowship center there. He was preaching a teaching lesson or something, and I came with him for that. And I came for Sammy Hall's funeral. One of the few funerals I've been in that was a rejoicing funeral.
Oh, yes.
But boy, that was something. That Brent Tatum, he preached, I'm telling you. And then, Brother Blake Stepp, Pastor, we came one night with him. So, well, you'll have to pray real hard. I know all singers say that. But I guarantee you, when you hear us, you'll say, well, we do need to pray. We love the Lord.
Yes.
Been good to us.
Amen.
Right. Why has he been good to me? Because he loves me.
Amen.
Not because of anything good I've ever done, but because he loves me.
Amen.
The praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see the way, he makes the way.
many sermons can be preached about this Jesus. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him? By this world
we were sitting in the football before practice started, my buddy came up to me and he said, "Mason, why do you seem so happy all the time? Why do you seem like you're always having a good day? Everybody has a bad day every now and then." Same face. And I said, "Well, face, I really don't got nothing to complain about. Okay, I got a good life. The Lord saved me. I'm a Christian. I mean, there's nothing really going on." And I started thinking, above all things, God bless me with. He blessed me with a great family. Yeah. He blessed me with a great church. I'm glad he's helping me in school. And I just, people always get into trouble with all the bad stuff happening in the world, but bless you.
Thank you. You know, we enjoy the riches of His grace.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Yeah. But the Bible says that in the ages to come.
Bless Him, Lord.
Yeah. He's going to show us the riches of His grace.
Amen.
He's not talking about down here.
No.
He's talking about up there.
Yeah.
In the ages to come.
Amen. Bless Him, Lord.
One of these days, this age is going to pass away.
Bless Him, Lord.
And I'm thankful that that age up there. All the same. You just mind that's the Lord's time.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let's the devil
Brother Teddy,
rob you if you bless it.
That church says it's been a long time since I had to stay out. And he got me wrong and bad.
Oh, yeah.
Bless my Lord. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit said it'd be all right.
That's right.
Bless you, Lord. Amen. Bless you, Lord. I do pray. I love it. And I love singing to the Lord, not for just us, but we do like to sing. And you know, when He gives you a talent, you don't need to hide it under a bushel because He can take it away from
bless
you.
Bless
God will pray for us.
Is the fountain for a
I'm just here to praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know praise to him in this place. And I don't want to end the service, but I love this song.
Bless your God.
Bless
the
Lord. Amen. Bless
him. Yeah, I don't know. Do the chorus. I'll play it. I'll be in it. All right.
So I want you to come help us. It's been a long time since we've sung it.
Bless the Lord.
Bless your God.
privilege that the Lord has allowed us to be back in His house. And not only just in His house, there have been a lot of times I've been to the house of God and it be empty and I get a blessing. But I like to go and meet with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I like to meet like we're meeting tonight.
Yes.
When I go to Mom and Daddy's house, we know that if we go over there, me and Kelly will both say, we need to stop by and just get such and such, and we need to hurry on home. And then one of us, whenever one of us says that, we'll say, well, you know that's not possible. We'll have to sit and stay a little while.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, we get to just forgetting about what kind of time we've been there.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're there longer than we expected, and it didn't hurt us not one bit in this world. That's the way I like to go to church.
Amen.
I like to go to church and just forget about time.
Yes.
Forget about everything else that's going on. And just get swept away into the heavenly places. I love that.
Amen.
And I love what we felt here tonight. It's been good. They were singing that song, and I, when I was, Brenda, 15, I guess, or so, maybe I was 16, I don't know. Sister Brenda came to the church that we were at and became our pianist there for us. And she got me to singing that song, One Scarred Hand. She said, I want you to learn this. And so I tried to sing it a few times. And it's always been a wonderful blessing. I love that song. But I thought about it as they were singing, and I know what the songwriter was talking about, and I agree with it. This one scarred hand. Thomas said, except that I see the nail prints in his hands.
Yeah. Right.
He wanted to see both of them.
Yeah.
He wanted to see both of them. And the Bible said 8 days later that Thomas and the disciples was in a room together.
Yeah.
And the door was shut, but somehow Jesus got in there.
Yeah.
I don't understand all about his resurrected body. I don't understand it all. I've tried to study it out, and it don't make a lot of sense to me. I know he had a physical body, but it was also a body that was able to go through closed doors. Now, you explain it. I can't explain that to you. But he got through there. The door was closed, and it was, and he knew what Thomas had said, and wasn't even that guy. And he spoke to Thomas and told him that he could touch him. He said, come and touch me. He said, touch the nail prints that are in my hand. He said, and thrust your hand in my side. Now listen, I'm not going to argue with it. I don't think Thomas ever did. I don't think he had to. I think when he heard his voice, he fell down before him and he said, my God and my Lord. He said, he knew who it was.
Yes.
Understood exactly who it was. And he wanted to see both hands. I know it didn't take but just one. But he had two.
Yeah.
And both of them was scarred by the nails. Both feet were scarred by the nails. I read somewhere not too long ago, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that it was 72 thorns that was placed upon his head. That was the custom of the day. 72 thorns placed upon his head, one nail in each hand, and one nail to get both feet because they planted them together. But 72 thorns, and I got to thinking about that, and I started wondering, why, Lord, so many thorns on your head when just one nail did the job in each hand and one nail for both feet? Why, Lord, so many thorns? And I think it's because that's where most of our problems arise, is in our head. That's where most of the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. Most of my transgressions don't come out of my hands or even out of my feet, although I have to be careful, little hands what I touch. I have to be careful, little feet where I go. But it's my mind that gives me the most problems. It's my thoughts. And I wondered about that, if that's why he had to have so many thorns placed upon his head. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. Ain't that good? I'm glad tonight that he was willing to go to the cross for mine and your sins tonight and to make us what we are today. If you have your Bibles, want to read with us, I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want you to listen and pray for us tonight that we'll be able to get ourselves out of the way. Sometimes when the Spirit gets like it does, as it has here tonight, you just don't know which way to go or what to do. I heard one preacher say, well, and to a young preacher, he said this, and I didn't agree with it. He said, well, if you can't preach now, you're not much of a preacher.
But I don't know.
Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes it's not necessary. But I'm going to give you what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. And if I can't get very far with it, then I'll know that the Lord's done what He needed to do, and I'll sit down. And I won't be embarrassed a bit because He's already done a great work here tonight. And I'm so thankful for that. I used to force a lot of things. Used to try to force a lot of things. I remember Brother Raymond Cook helped us in revival there at U-Harley. I guess he's all ready up into his 90s. And Brother Raymond come and preach for us there. I guess it was my second revival. Killer had to help me out with that. Second or third revival as we just had started pastoring. Brother Raymond come to help us. One night we had some special singers and it got real good. And then one of the singers in the group kind of got out a little bit too far. You know, he tried his best. He was just trying. And Brother Raymond sat down beside him and he said, oh, Lord, don't let the Spirit... Y'all know how he talked. Don't let the Spirit leave. That's what he said. Please, Lord, don't let the Spirit leave. And he just sat there and prayed, you know, prayed. Please, Lord, don't let the Spirit leave. And the Lord spoke to me and I got up. And I said, you know, Baptist folk is the worst ones to let the Spirit go quickly.
Yeah, Lord.
I said, I read of a man that wrestled all night long and said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me.
Yeah.
And old Brother Raymond come out, he said, that's right, preacher, that's right. And he got up and Sunday preached. I mean, done a wonderful job. I think we had several saved. I won't even call the number. I don't even remember. We had several saved that week. Brother Raymond was a special blessing in our life, along with many other great preachers that God allowed me to be in their presence. And I feel the least among the least, that of God's called men. But I thank Him for calling me. I ran from the Lord. He called me when I was 16. And I run for 6 years. I didn't do it. And I got into some of the worst shape of my life in those 6 years. And I'm ashamed of a lot that I did in those times. But I'm thankful He's long-suffering and merciful unto us. And He's been so very good to me. I have a wonderful family, as you've seen tonight. I'm thankful I was raised in a godly home and in a Christian environment. And thankful for the churches that I was raised in and the people. I appreciate all of them that are here tonight, and I love them dearly. And I thank God for you for coming and being with us. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want you to think now concerning these scriptures. Let me hit verse 20 of chapter 1 just to reiterate what I said last night as far as the heavenly places. If you look over in chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, which He wrought in Christ, talking of the Father, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay? So Christ was raised to set in the heavenly places, right? I told you that last night. And then chapter number 2, I'm going to read and I'll stop at the heavenly places verse, but I'm going to go on because there's something else that I want to try to preach on tonight. It said in chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Now listen, verse 6, here it is. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, I preached this the other night there at the church, and He raised Christ to sit in heavenly places, and He raised us to sit in heavenly places. And that doesn't mean that we just get in them every now and again. We're raised to sit in them all the time. And we don't always sit in them, but we're raised to sit in them. And then it said in verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, Not of works, lest any man should boast. I still believe that. I believe it's simple faith. I believe it's believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Somebody got on to me not so long ago and said, well, preacher, even the devils believe in Trim. I said, that's not quoted right. It said they believed in God. They know there's a God,
yeah,
but there's a difference. We believe in Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And that's what we're supposed to believe in and trust in. And he said, for we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, and which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's all I feel like reading tonight. I may get to some other places here in just a little while, brethren, but that's what I felt like reading to you. Brethren, listen, as I told you last night, the heavenly places are only mentioned in the book of Ephesians. Brethren, they're mentioned about five times, and God has raised us up to sit in those high places. But that's not all that He raised us up for. I thank God tonight. I want to preach God being my helper just for a little while. I want to preach on this thought, the Lord get me. No more strangers. That's what I want to preach on for just a few minutes. Brother, that 19th verse said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, amen, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen, thank God. No more are you strangers tonight. Thanks be unto God. I'm glad. Brother, listen. I know the Bible said that we of the Gentiles, brother, we are not of the commonwealth of Israel. Brother, listen. And the Bible said that Christ came to His own, being the Jews, but His own received Him not, and therefore He turned unto the Gentile. Amen. Brother, you listen. The Bible said here, and Paul was talking to him here at the church of Ephesus. Brother, and he said that Christ, thank God, even we which were dead in our sins, even so Christ hath quickened us together. Amen. Brother, He quickened those that were nigh, which was the Jews, and those that were afar off, and that's us. Thank God He quickened all of us together. Listen, you remember the story about how that Jesus told His disciples that He had must needs to go through Samaria. Brother, that wasn't the common route of the Jews. They'd all together go 10 to 15 miles out of the way that they might not get a whiff of those Samaritan people. Brother, they didn't like one of
another, and they shared in fellowship. And Jesus said, but I have much needs. I had to go through Samaria. And the Bible said when he got there, brother, he leapt down on the side of the well there. And there was a little old woman that come to draw water out of the well. Y'all know the story. Brother, listen. And he asked water of her. And he said, how? She said, how can you, being a Jew, ask water of me, a Samaritan? They didn't have no dealings. They weren't fellow citizens. They were strangers from each other. But the Lord was trying his best to help her along the way and give her some water. He said, I'll put a well of water in you. Spring it up in the everlasting life. She ran away from that place of fast. As the Bible said, she left her water pots. She forgot what she had come for. And she went back in the city and said, I come see a man that told me all things. And what I did, is not this the Christ? Amen. She went to the well. Brother, listen. She went to that same well over and over again. I want to read some of that. John chapter. What is that for? John chapter number 4. And you listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said that Jesus said unto her in the 21st verse, woman, believe me. He said, the hour coming when you'll neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He said, you worship, you know not what. Hey man, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. It didn't say it was for the Jews, and for the Jews are, said it was of them. Brother, he was a Jew. It came out of him. Amen. But the hour coming, and now is, he said. He wasn't talking about something. After some thousands of years later, he said, the hour's coming, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Amen. And run this. Paul wrote to the church there at Galatia. And they're having some problems with words. There's some men in the book. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Brother, that's when Paul pins down the book. The letter to the Galatians. And in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Brother, there were some certain men that come in saying, and except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And old Paul looked at them people there in Galatia and said, who has bewitched you that you should believe a lie? Amen. He said, it's not of circumcision. It's not of the law. He said, for a man that abideth in the law must obey the law. He said, but if you fail in one jot, you're guilty of it all tonight. He said, it was not a Jew that was a Jew outwardly. And it was not circumcision of the flesh. He said, but circumcision is of the heart. Hey, man. And brother, listen, you know what he is saying? He is saying, if you get born again, you'll no more be a stranger. Amen. And brother, if you come this way, you'll no longer be an alien of the commonwealth of Israel. He said, but you'll be Israel itself. Amen. The church of God is Israel today. Sure it is. Amen. Thank God. Brother, I am a fellow citizen. Hey, you know what that means? That means I got just as much of heaven as Abraham got. Hey, man. I got just as much as Jacob got. I got just as much as Isaac got. Hey, there's not any piece of heaven that any Jew's going to have over me tonight. Hey, man. That's exactly right. Ain't nobody going to have more than what I've got. And I'm going to say this, I ain't going to have more than anybody else has got. Hey, man. There's a lot of people, and brother, today, I think that all of a sudden, and brother, just because they got born again, and they've done this many words here on this side, that they're going to have bigger and better than you got. I want you to know tonight that salvation made you and me on the same ground. Woo! Hey, yeah! And brother, I got the same thing that Abraham got. And brother, I got the same thing Elijah got. I got it all when I got him tonight. I ain't no stranger no more. Matter of fact, when I get up there, guess what? I believe they're going to know who I am. Amen. I don't believe they're going to know me like you know me in the flesh. I don't think they're going to know that little red-headed boy that got born again. I don't think that's what they're going to know about me. But I think they're going to know me in the Spirit. Yeah. And that we felt tonight and saw tonight and heard tonight was just sounds of home. Woo! Yeah. We understood what it was because we're not stranger to it. We're fellow citizens of it tonight. Amen. Yeah. Well, yeah, Brother Teddy said the world don't understand this. And when they come in, they think we're crazy. Oh, listen. There's a lot of folks. I no doubt look at that woman. It wasn't everybody. And brother, the Bible said that the men she spoke to, some of them, and brother went to go find the one that was called Christ. And they wanted to go. At her saying, the Bible said, hey man, you know what that? Hey, we ought to tell people how good the Lord is. And it ought not just be on Sunday, morning, Sunday night. The best time to tell somebody is when they don't want to hear it on Monday morning.
Amen.
Amen. I don't think them fellas was gathered out to go to church, but they got church come to them. Hey man, I'm going to say that's part of, and don't get mad at me, that's part of our problem in the country churches. We wait for church and meeting to come to us when we ought to carry them where we go. He raised us to sit in heavenly places. Hey man, I don't know why I'm going to come in church. I don't know how I'm going to come in church. How to dress like I'm in church. How to act like I'm in church. I should act like I'm a child of God tonight. Amen. Amen. Not just when the preacher can see me. Amen. She left the well and she went down there and said, come see him. Is not this the Christ? And at her saying, they went to go see him. And the Bible said they come back and they told her, listen. And they said, we didn't believe because of your saying. I said, but we went and seen him for ourselves and we believed what he had to say. Amen. They got a little bit for themselves. And they were no more strangers to it. They knew what she was happy about. When that sister was shouting a while ago, it didn't bother me. It excited me. I didn't want you shouting about. Amen. Well, praise His name. Brother and them fellas, I don't think they knew when she come back in the city yelling about this man. I believe they might have been just a little bit. Brother, they might have been spying her. You know how people do. And they might have been looking at her real long. But when they heard him for themselves, I believe they might have been like that old fellow that said, this man don't speak like no other man. He speaks as one with authority. And y'all remember that? They sent them boys down there to put him in jail. And they come back empty-handed. They said, why didn't you bring him? They said, ain't no man ever spake like this man. Said, you don't understand. He speaks with power and authority like he's the ruler of the world. Hey, man. Why did he speak like that? Because he was. Amen. And he is. and He always will be. Hey, yes, sir. Isaiah said, "For unto us a son is born, a child is given." Amen. And the government, it said, shall be on His shoulders. And it goes on down in a few verses, and it said, "And of that government, there shall be that peace. There shall be no end." Amen. You know what? Hey, my American citizenship will end one day. But when I lay back down to this dust, and I become dust myself, but I'll no longer be notified of anything that America's got going on. They won't ask me to vote for no president. I won't get no emails asking for money. But all that'll be gone. But my citizenship in heaven will still be good for all eternity tonight. That little woman went to the well to get a little drink of water, and she went when nobody else would be there because she was ashamed of her life. Yeah. She went like a stranger would go, didn't she? Yeah. Nicodemus, a ruler in the Sanhedrin, a man that had authority over many men and could speak to people, he come by night. He come by night. There's a little woman, I think I mentioned her last night, that come to the Lord, wanted her to heal her daughter. And He said, "It's not meet that I should cast the children's bread before the dogs." And she said, "But yea, Lord, even the dogs." She wasn't a Jew. She was an old Gentile. And yeah, an old Gentile dog. That's what she was. But the Lord gave her a place at the table. Amen. Why? Because she become a fellow citizen that night. Yeah. Brother, listen. I want you to know, Benjamin Netanyahu, if I said that right, ain't got nothing over me. And I'm going to say this, if he ain't born again, he ain't going to heaven tonight. I don't care if he's the ruler of Israel or not. It's not Israel natural, that's the old covenant. But tonight He has birthed us into the new covenant. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He said, "How can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born when he's old?" And the Lord said, "Nicodemus, that that's born of flesh is flesh. But that that's born of spirit is spirit." Amen. That's why Christ died in the flesh, to get rid of flesh, to break down the middle wall partition. We couldn't get into the holies of all. But I tell you, I'm living in Canaan now, thank God. I'm a citizen there. I'm not waiting to get to Canaan land. I'm living there. Right now. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm no more a stranger. Amen. Listen. Not only do I know Him, but He knows me. He knows me. How well does He know you? He knows me better than I know myself. I've told this a lot of times. I know my wife and them get tired of hearing it. Probably Sister Sandra does too. I'm getting a little thin on the top. And when I take a shower in the morning and I look down, all my hairs are going down the drain. And I'm trying to grab it, keep it. Say, "Don't leave, don't leave." But it's a going, it's a going. The older I get, the quicker it goes. But you know what? As many hairs as I lose every morning, the Lord keeps track of how many still on my head. Woo! He knows me tonight. There's not a problem that I face. And He don't understand. And He can't help me with. He knows me. Because I'm one of His tonight. Amen. Every hair's numbered. He keeps track of it. There's not anything that goes by that He don't understand and He don't already know. Amen. He's already got the answer. He's already given the answer. Brother, this life's just a vapor. Quit worrying about it and just enjoy heaven tonight. You're a citizen. You're no more a stranger. Well, praise His holy name. Lord of mercy. Oh, Ruth came back with Naomi, didn't she? Came back over into Naomi's land. She said, I want your people to be my people. Yeah. Amen. She wasn't a citizen of that country. Lord of mercy. No, she wasn't. She wasn't from over there. But she said, I want your people to be my people. She said, where you lodge, I'll lodge. And she said, best of all, your God's going to be my God. Yeah. Amen. She even got over there. And whenever Boaz showed her kindness, the first day she was in the field, she said, am I not just a stranger in this place? Woo! Am I not just a stranger here? Well, what happened? I can't go through it all. Y'all wear me out. Amen. Well, but you get to the end of it, and what happened? That old Boaz went to the nearer kinsman. Everybody thinks he was the nearest, but he wasn't. And he went to the nearer kinsman, which was a picture of the law. And he asked if she, if that near kinsman would redeem her Ruth. And he said, he inquired of it, and he told him who she was, and he said, I cannot redeem her. He said, that's all right, I can. I can and I will. But I'm glad that Christ done what the law couldn't. It brought forth them, but Jesus Christ brought forth grace and truth tonight. Jesus told that woman, said, the hour's coming and now is. Right now, He said, when you'll neither worship in this mountain nor Jerusalem. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, Jerusalem which is below is still in bondage to this day. He said, but Jerusalem from above is free and the mother of us all. You think you got freedom in America? I want you to know you don't have as much as you think you got. Hey, man, that's right. But brother, my freedom in Christ, He said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been free. I'm glad I'm free from sin tonight. I don't have to give in to it no more. I'm a citizen of heaven. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. You know what that joint heir means? It means me and Jesus is brothers. Yeah. How about that? Huh? Yeah. When Ruth got married to Boaz, I want to read it. When Ruth got married to Boaz, remember in that second chapter, she said, am I not just a stranger here? But when Ruth got married to Boaz, I got a little boy I'm fixing to do his wedding. I coached him several years ago. He's from Venezuela. He's been here for about 9 or 10, I don't know, maybe 11 years he's been going to school. And as long as he goes to school, his visa continues. He has to go and get it renewed. But he's not a citizen. And he's tried and getting a citizenship, just a tough road to go. Well, he met a girl and fell in love. And the daddy was a little skeptic of it, because when you get married from another country, you automatically become a citizen. So the daddy was a little skeptical. The first time Manuel asked if he could have his daughter's hand in marriage, he said no. Because the daddy just didn't trust it all. But then 2 or 3 years later, they got to know Manuel. He's a wonderful, wonderful boy. Loves Jesus with all of his heart. He told his girlfriend, he said, now whenever we get married, he said, my coach is going to perform the wedding. She said, what? He said, my basketball coach is going to perform my wedding. He said, and that's it. He said, if you're going to marry me, my basketball coach is going to perform. She said, I ain't never heard of a basketball coach performing no wedding. Amen. The moment that I turn them around on June the 1st is when they're getting married. The moment that I turn them around and I say, I want to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Manuel Castro. You know what? He'll be a citizen of the United States of America. Amen. Yeah. I said that to say this. Let me read it to you right quick. If I can find it in the book of Ruth. You listen. The Bible said there in the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. Let me get everything wiped off here. The 13th verse. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a... What's that say? Kinsman. Amen. What does that mean, preacher? What do you mean Naomi wasn't left without a kinsman? Naomi's husband was dead and both her sons were dead. She didn't have nobody to carry on the husband's name. They was all dead. But Ruth come in and married the near kinsman, Boaz, and bore Boaz a son. Now you listen. I ain't done yet. And the Bible said he was a kinsman, which means Ruth had citizenship and that baby had citizenship. Listen. And Boaz took wife, 14, and women said, Naomi, bless the Lord, was not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. This baby's name is going to be famous. Listen, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Oh, Naomi was old in age, but I believe she got revived. That's what we're trying to do here this week, ain't it? Hey, man, you don't want to help us? If we'll just see somebody born in the family, I believe that'd get us stirred up a little bit, don't you? Hey, man, listen, but it said, a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age, for the daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid in her bosom, became nurse to it, and the women and neighbors gave it a name, saying, there's a son born unto Naomi, and they called his name Obed, and he's the father of Jesse, which became the father of David. And through that lineage, through the outcast stranger, through the one that wasn't a citizen, came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that made us all fellow citizens tonight. I gotta quit. I won't be able to work tomorrow. Lord of mercy, there's more in this than I can get.
Bless you.
I can't, there's just so much. I mean, if I keep going, I won't ever be able to find a place. Fellow citizen, I'm no more a stranger. I'm not strange in that place, and that place is not strange to me. I'm no more a stranger tonight. Let me read it to you again there in the book of Ephesians. And they can come around and get a verse of song. Man, I thought I was going to a lot of places. But I don't feel like it's expedient for me to go on much further. This is what he said, where I read to you tonight in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. He said, now therefore ye are no more strangers. He didn't say when you get a second dip, when you get a fulfilling of the Spirit, when you get the gifts of the... He didn't say none of that. I'm just going to say this. I don't believe in all of that. I believe when you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. And when I got born again, I became a fellow citizen, which means I got everything, access to heaven that heaven had to give me. Amen. I don't know how to use it all, but I got it all. I've told it like this before. I went to a little old yard sale and got me a tool kit and a little old tool box and brought it home. I think I paid $15 for it, $20. Brought it home and I got a bunch of tools in there, and half of them I don't even know what they're used for. When I bought them, I didn't even know. But I got them regardless. Over the years, somebody come by and say, hey, I didn't know you had one of those. I said, what is that? And they'd tell me what it was used for, and I'd say, man, now I know. And I learned to use it. Well, that's the way the Lord is. He gave me everything He had in the toolbox. I don't know how to use every tool yet, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Every now and again, I say, I didn't even know I had that. I remember the first time I said amen on the front bench. I was sitting there, and the preacher got to preaching, and I'd done moved up to the front bench. I'd been preaching a little while, but I'd never said amen to the preacher. So I was sitting on the front bench. I said, I believe I'll try this. I said, amen. Boy, that felt pretty good. He come back by again. I said, amen. A little bit louder. He come back by again. I said, amen. It got so good, I just said, I'll keep on doing that. I didn't even know I had that in me, but it was there. It was there. I remember the first time I shouted. Amen. I didn't know I had that, but it's in there. You say, I ain't never shouted, preacher. It's in your toolbox. It's in your toolbox. You got it when you became a citizen tonight. Amen. You got everything, listen, you got everything that's needed for citizenship. Everything. There's nothing lacking that you need that God did not give you tonight. He gave you it all. You may not understand it all. You may not know how to use it all. But it's all there. And listen, it's meant, I want to say this, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. It's meant to be used. Here. Here. Wouldn't it be sad if you had to test your shouter upper when you got to heaven and you never had squeaked a shout before? Well, Jake Cash said, this is the quietest world you'll ever live in. Said, if you die and go to hell, there'll be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Said, if you go to heaven, they're going to be shouting and praising God. Amen. This is a quiet world, he said. You might as well get... He said, I'm just getting acquainted with that one. I'm just getting acquainted with it. What about it tonight? I don't know your heart. I don't know your mind. But I know tonight I'm no more stranger in that land. My name's there. I'm recorded. And they know me. And I know them. I know you're going to think I'm a little crazy tonight, but that'll be okay. Sometimes I fellowship with them. I fellowship with them tonight. Preacher, you fellowship with who? Them that's gone on. They don't know me. They're not looking down on me. I don't believe that. That's not what I'm preaching tonight. Don't go out here and say, that preacher said people in heaven can see us. No, that's not what I'm saying. They're at peace. They're not worried about our life or anything that's going on. But I guarantee you their works are still going on. The Bible said they that die in the Lord and rest from their labor, their works do follow after them. It said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Because their works... Hey, I still hear them. Y'all sing that song? I hear voices far off yonder shore calling me. We don't sing that a lot anymore because we think people think we're crazy. You hear voices, preacher? They've been time like Daddy said that I'll be low. And it's not Jocelyn and Caleb, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate their walk with the Lord, and I love them. And they bless me and my wife, and they help me and my fellow family, and you help me down here. But sometimes I hear voices from another place. Sometimes I hear Paul preaching. Sometimes I hear Mama shouting. Sometimes I hear my Papa Gene, my great-granddaddy, praying for me. You don't think that does something for me? Sometimes I'll hear dear old saints of God that shouted when I was a kid. I'll hear them. Sometimes it's in the darkness of my midnight hour. Sometimes it's when I'm in the heavenly places. Hey man, it's a beautiful sound. Why? Because it's the sound of home. It's the sound of home. I'll tell this and then I'll be done. Mom and Daddy's house used to have a big old furnace. A big old furnace. Had a big old grate in the middle of the floor in the hallway there. And when they turned the air conditioning on, it'd vibrate my room. My room was right beside that. It'd vibrate the floor. And I'd like to get down on the floor and just lay down and just kind of... I'd put my face by the vent and get that cold air blowing on my face. And that floor just vibrated. Sometimes I'd just fall asleep right there. I knew where to get to. I knew the sounds. I knew when it was about to kick on. And I knew the feeling of that place. It's not exactly the same as it was when I was a kid. They've made a lot of modifications, a lot of changes. But those things are still in my mind. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I go to those places. And I find peace in those things. Sometimes I get acquainted with people and they go on to be with the Lord. Sister Lois Brown at U Harley. She was a lady that never did cut her hair. It was real long. She wore it up in a bun. She'd get to shouting and bobby pins would get to flying. And her hair would come down. Sister Lois didn't get to come to church much. She had diabetes. She was sick a lot. Had a lot of health problems. She was a little short, stout woman. She wasn't but about 4 foot tall, I guess. Sometimes she'd call me and she'd say, "Brother Josh." I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." "This is Sister Lois." I'd say, "Hey, how are you?" She said, "I just want to call you and tell you I've been praying for you this morning. I woke up thinking about you. I wanted you to know that I love you." Sister Lois would show up to church. Water, she'd show up to church, and I didn't have no worries about the service that day. Because as soon as she got to the church and she stepped on the ground, I said, "We're going to have beef." Sister Lois is here. I think of her often because she was a prayer warrior for me. She passed away, and they asked me, said, "Brother Josh," her son called me and said, "Mama wanted you to preach her funeral." I said, "Would you?" I'd already left the church. I said, "Would you preach the funeral?" I said, "Lord, I'd love to." Lord, give me scripture. I don't remember all the scriptures that I preach on. A lot of times I forget. Even when I leave out of here, you may ask me. I say, "I don't even remember." I mean, it happens to me. I'll never forget that day. The Lord gave me a scripture so plain and so true about Sister Lois. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what Sister Lois, that's the scripture the Lord showed me whenever they asked me to help in her funeral. Godliness with contentment. I'm content with what I've got.
Yes.
I'm not looking for a double portion of spirit or I'm content with what I got. I want to use what I got.
Oh Lord,
I ain't even figured out how to use it all. I want to use all of what the Lord's given me. And I want to use it for His glory and His honor tonight. I want to make Him proud of one of His citizens tonight. No more strangers. Now, I preach a little bit longer than I normally do. I'm not a long-winded preacher. So don't get mad and don't come back tomorrow night. You come on back. Be with us. Bring somebody with you that's lost. If you're here tonight and you need something from God.
Oh, please.
You need something from God. Just a touch. You just like to feel His presence. You're going through something. You say, "Boy, I'd love to be able to feel the Lord's presence again in my life." You're going to have tonight. You come if you have a need. As we stand together, as we sing.
161, please, in the church hymnal.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
Most of the time, people will use that in conjunction with they're trying to justify what they're doing. A lot of times I'll have a disagreement with somebody and they'll say, "Well, you work out your own salvation, I'll work out mine." But it's a common salvation that I don't see. That's not what that scripture is talking about. It's talking about that we've been saved and it's on the inside. And
that we should work it out. So people can see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You can't see my salvation. It's not evident to you from the inside. But I'll have to work it out for you to see. I'll have to present it in good works. That's what I read to you tonight, that He has raised us and ordained us unto good works. It doesn't say that you'll just automatically do them. James said you should do them. We should do good works. One old black preacher said this. He got cancer and he got mad at God. He said, God, I've preached all over this world. I've seen thousands and thousands of people say, how could you let me get cancer? I don't understand that. I don't get that. He said, I was mad. He said, one day I just thought I'd go out and read my mind. He said, he got over into Romans and it said that he works all things together for good.
used to not understand it when the older people stand up and testify that they had belonged and they was ready and they was, seemed like they was just so ready to get up there. And I don't know how many times we said, how beautiful. Just look at the mountains, how beautiful. And we come out of that place and I said, you think the Lord, heaven's going to be beauty like this? The Lord knows how much we love it. He said, that he's going to prepare a home. I'm going to prepare a home for you.
Yeah.
So he knows. You know, he knows what we like. And I know that's kind of a,
bless your Lord. Bless
you know, a fleshly way to look at it.
Bless your Lord.
It's good to know that we have a God that loves us that much.
Yeah.
He knows how we are. And he knows what's best for us.
Amen.
Troy Hall was a little boy, and I was babysitting. And he came in, crawled in my lap one day, and he said, "Miss Sandy, is there going to be horses in heaven?" Oh, Lord, Sandy's his daddy. I got to get this one right. Yeah. And I said, "Well, Troy, I don't know what's going to be in heaven exactly, but the joy that horses give you on this earth, it's going to be much more in heaven than the joy of a horse here."
Yeah, right.
And he looked up at me with them blue eyes and just lit up.
Yeah.
Because he had some peace about, you know, some adult had told him what made him that happy.
Yeah.
Then that gave him more to look forward to heaven.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, we could be like a little kid.
Yeah.
And I'm tonight when the piano player had her hands free, I've often wondered, because I played piano in church since I was 8 years old, I've said many times how I would love to just sing for a while at my play.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I would act like her if I got my hands. I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Amen.
I like I could have just gone home and I've been happy.